Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Jed Hoyer will join us during our normal polls position segment.
But that will not derail our baseball conversation.
You sure about that? You sure about that?
How long will I be able to go before I ask him about the ninth overall pick?
How you guys doing?
End it.
If Jed Hoyer had to take over for Ryan Poles for a day, what are you targeting with the ninth pick?
That didn't take long.
Well, certainly he's the one that knows what he's doing. I just said, like, the original trade was so good. I trust him.
I know.
Decision.
But come on, you play fantasy football at a high level. Come on now.
My gut always is just build through the lines.
Boring.
But again, it's really boring, but that's, you know, everyone wants skill positions, but you asked my opinion. I gave it to you.
I did. Jed, thank you for dealing with our nonsense.
Thanks, guys. I'll see you.
All right. I bet you Shane and Tanny liked Jed saying he would draft a lineman.
Yeah, it's funny, right? Guy whose opinion you respect universally on everything.
Yeah.
Always says a smart thing. And yeah. What's not right here in this situation?
Yeah, I guess I disagree.
Super boring.
Yeah.
Jed likes to do it. He was digging in on the draft with Chris and I.
Shane and Chris really dig into this draft.
He was?
Yeah.
No, we have our consultants. We're not allowed to say who they are.
Oh, sorry.
It wasn't
one of them's Jed.
Yeah. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no.
We don't have to disclose that, so we're not going to give that out for anybody.
I love him flatly saying that Bill Belichick could not be a baseball manager.
He's wrong, by the way.
Yeah, he's probably wrong.
I don't think he could do it.
Motivate, whatever the motivator is, yeah. Do your job.
He's wrong.
I don't know.
Man Genius, maybe. You can get Man Genie in there.
Yeah.
You hung out with Man Genie, didn't you?
I did. He was at Nick's wedding.
So, you know his name tonight? Man Genius.
It's a judge coach, sweetie. I should go say hello.
One. Two, three,
and here we go, Jim.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show, afternoons from 2 to 6 on 670 The Score in Odyssey Station.
I should go say hello. An excellent line from The Sopranos. Excellent work by Chris Tannehill. We hope to see many of you tonight at Galleria Marchetti supporting Camp One Step, Dan Bernstein's terrific charity. Spiegs and I will be playing in the poker tournament as bounties. Shane will be drinking.
I'll be playing.
You're playing too?
I'm playing.
Outstanding.
My apologies.
For like the fourth year in a row.
Okay, I haven't been there the last 2 years, so you played 4 years ago?
Yeah.
All right, my bad.
Wait a minute, you played last year? I felt like we walked around the entire time drinking.
Yeah, I was out within like 25 minutes.
Oh, that's what it was.
All right, my bad, dude.
A lot of good names as bounties out there. Our friend Richard Roper is going to be over there. As a bounty.
Marley Caden.
I know that Jason Finn is going to be running things. It's a wonderful dude. Good poker aficionado and empresario is the word I was looking for.
It's a good word.
Yeah, empresario?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you very
much. Well done. Mm-hmm. But yeah, we're going to be a little disadvantaged. We're going to be getting there late. And I have two podcasts to do tonight after the thing, so... I'd have to have a very big stack to stay in that thing and to make a shot at the World Series of Poker.
You and I don't believe we have sat at the same poker table, which is crazy.
That seems impossible.
I know. I mean, if it did happen, it was the Vegas trip way back when we hung out with Pat Hughes and Ryan Sandberg at Mr. Chow's.
Yes.
And Justin Grimm. Of course.
Justin Grimm was the other player. Why are you here? $2,000 is the answer.
Yeah,
okay.
Good to see you, Justin.
Yeah.
Free apps on you. But yeah, there's a chance that we played, but no real memory. So I think tonight we should all try and meet at the final table. Shane, what
okay.
do you say? You,
yeah.
me, Danny, let's all meet at the final table, which will be at like midnight.
Yeah. Danny, I'm just more so confused why you aren't including the names of the podcast you're doing tonight. I think it's great you're doing Caller Daddy.
That would be big. That would be incredible. I'd happily go on
Caller Daddy. And last podcast on the left he's doing, which is very exciting.
Is Stavi bringing back Cumtown for you to go on?
I don't know that joke. I don't like that joke.
It's the name of a podcast.
I don't know. It's kind of a good line.
It's a little truth to it. First and Pod, I'm doing tonight.
Oh, 1% Pod.
Yeah.
Sure. And 1ST ampersand Pod.
Yeah, thank you. And then I'm doing...
And Drink Champs. You're doing Drink Champs with Nori.
Doing Damon Bruce's show out in San Francisco, out of the Bay Area.
You're doing Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend today on Conan's 61st birthday.
That would be amazing.
That's very exciting.
Doing Richard Deitch's Pod tomorrow.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, so that's a big one.
Before or after Hot Ones tomorrow?
God, I would love to be on Hot Ones. Book me on Hot Ones. And That'd be great.
Are you doing Score Values? Is that tomorrow or the next day?
I don't think so.
I think it's after he does Legion of Skanks.
Right before Sports Medicine Weekly.
Right.
I'll go anywhere.
Which one of these is he on with Aaron Rodgers? Do we know? Where is he spouting conspiracy theories?
All of this is true. That's what it's called.
All of this. Doing My Own Research, starring Danny Parkins and Aaron Rodgers.
It'd be a good show. To be honest, it would be a very good show.
I don't think Aaron would last, frankly.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I don't either. Which one of us hates each other
first? He likes to read, though.
He does.
He's very proud of that.
He's very proud of all of the books on his shelf.
So am I, though, so I can't really go hating on that.
On that specifically.
Yeah, I love having good books on the shelf, you know? People come over, they talk about something, like, oh, look at this, I got that book right here. I hand it over. It's happened once in my life, but that's the dream anyway.
So I tweeted last night during the Bulls game. I love what Richard Jefferson just said about the Bulls and United Center crowd. I remember the Nocioni chants. It doesn't take a great team to make this a great building. Just got to give the fans something. A little nod to the old gimme something. And I get a text from Bernstein like a minute or two later. Right? And... you know, he's being very, very Dan, but
you called me, bitch.
Right? There was definitely some of that involved. Why can't I find this?
I can't.
Did I delete every text I've ever sent to
you? You ever have a great Valpolicella?
you're doing a great job.
Where
I don't even know what that is.
Yeah,
it's
me neither.
Italian wine.
Yeah, no, I don't think it is. I think you made it up. Here's the thing. I mean, that crowd last night was awesome. That atmosphere seemed incredible. It jumped off the TV. Everybody was talking about it. You could feel it. And there have been so many times post-Michael where that building has felt incredible. I mean, I was there for Bulls Heat when it was Derrick Rose, and it was that one year where you're like, I think they might be able to get this done, where they won the first game and then lost the next four. And I was at game five there at the UC when they lost. But like, I think that night was louder, certainly as loud as any Jordan Bulls playoff game I'd ever been at. The building is an incredibly electric semiconductor for fan energy. It always has been, and it remains so, even when they've got a team that has an obvious ceiling of well below elite contender status. Everybody knows it, but it doesn't matter. Fans still go crazy, and you can feel it in the building and jumping off the screen.
And so Bernstein texted me, and he said, your tweet identifies the exact reason why the Bulls stay mediocre. And I saw Joe Cowley talking about some version of that.
Yeah, I saw Cowley tweet like, oh, way to send a message, fans, that you're not going to be happy with another number 9 seed.
So here's what I don't get.
It strikes me as so condescending to the fans, like they shouldn't go and enjoy themselves. Like the fans are the problem.
Well, the fans are definitely not the problem. Look, full stop. There are so many Bulls fans that it makes the Bulls a uniquely good business. Like, that's true. It is true that you can't sell more tickets than a sellout. And so if you sell out with being bad and you sell out with being good, both numbers are sellouts. Okay, fine. There is some truth to
that.
The Bulls are number one in attendance in 2024, 2023, and 2022. Some of that is capacity-based because United Center is bigger.
That's a huge part of
it. But 20,000-plus, number one of tickets sold the last 3 years.
But that ignores a few big factors as far as I'm concerned. One, that doesn't mean that the business wouldn't be better if the team was better. They'd be on national TV more. That would be good for business. They'd sell more suites. You go to the United Center, they got three levels of suites. They are not all sold. I know someone who just bought a suite because it was available. He had options. You know what I mean? They were like, oh, what do you want to do? You want the Bulls? You want the Blackhawks? You want the Bulls and Blackhawks? You want the Bulls, Blackhawks, and the concerts? What do you want?
Season suite? You bought a season suite?
Yeah. Nice life.
That's a respectable neighborhood.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what I mean? So there's inventory for the highest level of this stuff that's available, that if they were awesome, there'd be less inventory available.
Mm-hmm.
So more national TV, more expensive seats. The longer you play, the better the team is. More playoff games.
Yeah, for sure.
More revenue. And it's not like baseball. It isn't like a revenue-sharing model. So you got to spend a certain amount of money. You make a certain amount of money. You can certainly spend into the luxury tax, which mm-hmm. the Reinsdorfs do not do often. So I'm not saying that ownership is great by any means, but this is the NBA. Zach LaVine's max contract is identical to Luka Doncic's max contract. They're literally to the dollar, same years, same dollars, same cents. They're the exact same contract.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like the Bulls are not trying to win. They're just bad at it.
Well,
and it's not so. Like, if the Bulls were 12th in the NBA in attendance, mm-hmm. they wouldn't be trying harder to win. Did you understand the point that I'm making?
Yes.
The Bulls have a lot of fans because this is a great basketball city. It's a big city, and tourists want to go watch the Bulls because of a guy named Michael Jordan. So they always sell the most tickets because it's a big building and it's mm-hmm. an attraction. But that doesn't mean like, oh well, they don't try to win.
Well,
they try to win. They're just bad.
They tried to win, and if Lonzo was healthy, then maybe they would have won at a much higher level and had a chance. But they've made choices like not going into the tax, right? Like not going into the luxury tax,
right?
Multiple years in a row here, like that. You've made choices to do that. And that has certainly hampered your potential to win. But they've also just made some bad and weird choices, like the Vooch extension.
Well, but like point out the NBA team that goes into the tax for the 9 seed. Can I get an example? Can I get an example?
No, but the idea is if they went into the tax, they could possibly get a top 4 seed. Is the idea?
Yeah, right.
Conceivably,
but the Bulls right now have a lot of money not playing for them.
Yes, they do.
Lonzo Ball is not playing. Zach LaVine is not playing. Patrick Williams is not playing. So this is not a situation that calls for the luxury tax. The Warriors pay the luxury tax every year.
Uh-huh.
They're the last dynasty that they have. They have Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. And I'm not saying that the Bulls are the best-run organization in the sport. Far from it. But they're just not good at putting a winner out there, and it would be very hard for you to convince me that if the Bulls had fewer fans to show up to, like, send a message to ownership, that all of a sudden they would be better at putting a better product out there on the court.
I understand what you're saying. I don't think if fewer fans went, that would motivate the Bulls to change. I don't
to
particularly
like what, hire a better coach.
Yeah, no, but
to
like,
hire a better general manager. What are we talking about?
You know, we're talking about blowing up a plan that is way far gone. Like, we're so deep into the plan. The question is going back to the beginning of this particular regime, when they decided to become decent, and then theoretically that could help them maybe become great, that choice to become decent and what has seemed like a motivation to remain at least decent,
right?
That feels like accepting mediocrity in a very Reinsdorfian way, knowing that in your back pocket, fans are just going to show up. But that, to me, feels like I've always pitted that choice against becoming terrible again and then taking the slow deathly crawl to maybe be great. You're choosing against becoming terrible.
Two things. One, that choice was celebrated by Dan Bernstein and Joe Cowley. We were all here. We were all talking about it.
We celebrated it openly as well.
No, no, I know. I understand that. But I'm saying yes. The people that are like, because the thought was you had to restore credibility. You had to get good. You couldn't pick seventh every damn year.
Uh-huh.
And luck is not a plan. And free agents hadn't come here. And if you got real players that real people wanted to play with,
yeah,
you could get good. And then maybe on top of that, you could build on something.
Okay, so there's that plan. But then in continuing years, in the next few years, this desire to not blow it up, like not doing things at the deadline to say, you know what, didn't work, let's blow it up and let's try again, let's shift things around. That to me has seemed too passive.
Listen, again, I'm on the record on all of this stuff, right? Like, I wanted to trade Vooch 2 years ago.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? So, like, I'm totally with you on that. I just personally, maybe they would say that I'm being naive, I personally don't think there is any evidence to support the idea that they're doing that because they're worried about the building not being full, because the building was full when they were getting the seventh seed or the seventh pick. They've been number one in attendance for 10 years. Mm. There is no evidence to suggest that building will not be full in any circumstance.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Can anyone remember a time where the Bulls were not top three in the NBA in attendance?
Yeah, I was just going back through the years, and they were not in like 2020 and 2021. They were not. They were 11th in 2020.
In percent attendance.
In total attendance.
In total attendance?
Yeah.
Okay. And it was motivated for 2 years, one of the COVID year.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah, 2020, they were 11th.
COVID hit this city pretty hard. Okay. Uh-huh.
And in 2021, they were 7th, and that was a tiny number because I think that registers as the COVID year for whatever reason.
Well, yeah, because of capacities. And how many people you can actually let in your building, to Danny's point about percentages.
Right. So. But yeah, back in 2018, they're number one. So yeah, 2017, they're number one. For lots and lots of years in there, they were.
Steve, my whole life has been number one in attendance. Yeah, entire life.
Here's what I want to say, though. It's like, even if we were, here's what I just want to make sure of. Like, blaming the fans is a needless sort of, you know, either shock jockey way or in Cowley's way, a shock tweeting way, whatever. Like, you know, looking at it as maybe it's the organizational mindset, like, oh, we know the fans go, and then blaming the fans for going, that goes too far to me. That really annoys the hell out of me. Because the fans should not deny themselves the opportunity to go and enjoy themselves. You know what I mean?
100%. And, like, I remember those Nocioni chants and, again, you know, it sucks to know that your team can't win a championship.
Yeah.
But as an entertainment product, if the team plays hard and you like the team and whatever, and you go and you cheer, like, I was not going to go to Bulls Hawks last night. This team hasn't, like, grabbed me and captivated me in that way. I probably went to 6 Bulls games this year, but I just,
when I was a kid producer, Mike Murphy used to have a whole bit like, real fans don't go. Real fans don't go until the Cubs change a thing. And I didn't like it. I never liked it. Because it's like, what the hell are we doing? It is an entertainment product. And Lord knows I enjoy a day at the ballpark. Go if you want.
I don't think in the NBA there is
boo if you want, but go if you want.
Listen, I wish this town booed more. I absolutely agree with that sentiment. But I don't think that there is any evidence to suggest that in the NBA, there is like a, well, the fans held ownership accountable and they fired everyone and they hired the best coach and the best general manager and now they're awesome. Mm-hmm. It's just not that kind of business model, and certainly not here because Michael Jordan was here. And so because Michael Jordan was here, there's just a lot of us. There's just a lot of Bulls fans.
Yes, there are.
Here and everywhere. And so the building's always going
to
be full.
Doesn't take much to get them going, man.
That
represents the town well. Like, to me, that's a great showing last night.
And I think that is where the disconnect that I have with this is, like, because we, the collective Bulls fan, gets excited and sells out and gives a home court advantage to Andres Nocioni or Brian Scalabrine or Kobe White or whomever.
Or the three alphas when they're making a surprising run against the Celtics in the first round. And a year you hated all of a sudden looks possible.
And you know what none of those moments compared to? Derrick Rose. Like, remember those Bulls Heat games?
Yeah, man.
So like, idea that like that Bulls fans are the exact same no matter if the team is a 9 seed or a 1 seed. No. Mm-hmm. Not true. Like, there's plenty of other levels that we can get to of engagement, intensity, home court advantage, and all of that.
Yeah.
When it's a better team out there, it's just, there's a lot of us. We're like playoff basketball or play-in basketball, whatever the hell it is. Mm. And I don't know what, it's baseball, it's revenue sharing. And a huge percentage of your revenue that you make is from home ticket sales. So it is, for the White Sox, it absolutely matters if 15,000 people go or 35,000 people go. That absolutely matters. For the Bulls, it doesn't. It doesn't really matter because 21,000 people are going to show up every damn night and Zach LaVine can only make so much money and they gave it to him. Mm. So I guess I don't really get the argument that like the Bulls ownership plays to the building and cuts corners when trying to win, based on what? Mm-hmm. I just just haven't gotten the right players.
Yeah, to me, where it gets interesting is the lack of change over the past 2 or 3 years, and it's good to see the development of some young players like Io and Kobe. Obviously, but, you know, there should have been more roster churn of the stars, it strikes me, which was a terrible network show in the 70s, by the way. Roster Churn of the Stars, did you guys used to watch that? But there should have been more of that. And the doubling down with Vooch is, like, very, very odd to me in a league where it doesn't make sense. So, but that's what I'm saying, Danny.
Those are separate issues, though, man.
Oh, but I don't think it's a separate issue to think about the lack of activity the last 2 or 3 years. That's where it gives a little credence. I just wouldn't blame the fans for any part of it. That's for damn sure.
Yeah. Do you think they're sticking with Vooch because they believe it to be the best course of action to win, or because it will sell tickets? Because I believe they think it is in the best course of action to win.
I think that that's true. I think that AK has this image of Vooch as the poor man's Jokic, and he can still build a team like that.
I don't think that guy
needs to stop shooting three-pointers, full stop.
Go ahead and play inside. I just don't think there's evidence to suggest that if they tore this thing down, the Bulls would struggle with money and attendance. And they weren't on national TV that much this year when they were trying to win.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't see much evidence to support that theory. So I have a real hard time being mad at Bulls fans for giving Kobe White a great home court advantage in a game where he drops 42 points and deserves a great home court advantage.
No way we should be mad at Bulls fans. And if that's what has been going on, that's ill-advised, in my opinion. I don't like that approach.
So let's revisit one of the tougher decisions that an executive in this town is potentially going to be faced with over the last couple of years, because it could be coming soon. It's Parkinson Spiegel on the Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
It's been a long 4 hours.
Afternoons on the Score.
Tim has the best batting average through 23 games. And this ball drilled deep left field.
Went from being the batting champion and the next face of baseball, according to Joe Buck, to a Marlin on a small deal, relatively speaking. But Tim Anderson is back in Chicago, so the Chicago media was interested, and they asked him about what went wrong.
It feels good. You know, I'm in a happy place, you know, and I'm getting the work in that I need, and just excited, you know, about my future.
What does it mean to you to come to Chicago, though? First time as in a different uniform here.
Mm-hmm. It's exciting, you know, to come back, you know, to play the Cubs. I mean, I guess it feels okay, you know.
A fresh start. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs it from time to time. How much did the burden of, as Tim Anderson goes, the White Sox goes?
Yeah,
is it nice to have it gone, and how hard was it?
Yeah, for sure, definitely. You know, I'm glad that definitely, you know, gone because, you know, it definitely takes a whole team to win. And, you know, finally to be from, you know, under the umbrella is, you know, now I can play the game free and, you know, just play my role.
It must have felt like you guys would be together for a long time at some point.
Yeah, but you always know that, you know, it's going to come to an end, you know, on the business side of things. And I understood that.
You could never say, I'm sorry, Sheriff. You could never say it was time for me to go somewhere else. But yeah. Was that in your thoughts when you were dealing with injuries and not being able to help the team for the last few years?
Yeah, that was in my thoughts, you know, throughout that process because, you know, I asked for extensions, you know, year after year. So, you know, that's always, you know, been in my thought process and understanding that, you know, you're not going to always spend, you know, your whole season, I mean, your whole career with one team. And I understood that. I mean, and we all know how, you know, how it works.
How was that conversation, that final conversation? You were hearing you would not be with the White Sox.
It was good. You know, it was a good conversation. I talked with Jerry. You know, we also had, you know, a couple phone calls, you know, in the off season as well. And talked to Getz and you know, we understood that it was time, you know, for them to go their way and me to go my way and I understood that. And it's been great since. You know, I've been happy. I've been in a great place.
Tim, how do you hope the Sox fans look back on your 8 seasons?
However they want to. You know, however they want to. It's not really, you know, up to me. I just know, you know, the last year that I spent there was tough. And, you know, and then finally to be able to, you know, make it through and be on the other side, you know, I'm happy. I'm in a great place. You know, my smile's back. And I'm back to, you know, back on my journey.
Taking it in the face of the new player in baseball, you kind of did that 4 or 5 years ago, you know, kind of said this is a new day, people should be able to express themselves, but mm-hmm. How difficult was it for you to carry that load?
It could be tough at times, you know, but we're here now, you know, and people are having fun, you know, their bat flips and people are expressing themselves. And, you know, just to finally, you know, see the game where it is now, you know, it's in a good spot. And overall, you know, I'm happy, you know, I'm not really worried about nothing else. You know, I'm happy. I'm excited. I'm in a good place. And I'm continuing to keep working on myself to, you know, continue to keep getting better and get back to, you know, the player that I used to be.
Steven, what do you think about your career? One of the things that really stands out is Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever think about what that meant and how that thrill that was for the team and for baseball?
Yeah, it left a mark in the game. People will never forget that moment, ever. That's going to always be around. And that's enough for me.
Do you keep in touch with anyone at the White Sox?
I talk to some of the guys, but, you know, not really on a day-to-day basis. You know, they're doing their thing, and I'm off doing mine as well.
Why do you think after 21 things went the other way for the team?
We weren't winning. You know, you weren't really winning. And I don't know, man. I don't know, man. A lot of my decisions as well, you know, off the field, you know, kind of interrupted with a lot of things as well. We understood that. And it's hard to, you know, it's hard to win when you don't have the right guys to go out and compete. You know what I mean? And that want to win it. But, you know, that don't have anything to do with where we are now. I'm only looking forward. I'm not looking back. You know, I wish them well. But I'm going to continue to keep, you know, trusting my process and, you know, continue to keep going and growing.
Good for him.
It's really interesting.
Pretty honest, too.
Oh, well, they're towards the end about the decisions off the field.
Yeah, just the whole thing. Weren't winning enough. My decisions off the field. I was thinking about how sometimes you just need a fresh start.
Mm-hmm.
That was pretty honest. He didn't spare himself any details of revisionist history there. I thought that was a pretty honest assessment.
It's interesting how he is able to admit now that it got to be too much, as Bruce was asking him about kind of being the face of baseball with the change of the game and how, yeah, that got to be a little bit too much. And then earlier saying that it was nice to be out from under the umbrella of being, as Tim goes, the White Sox go, as the leadoff hitter, which, of course, is something that he embraced and wanted early on.
Well, and when it's going well, it's a great thing.
Energizer Bunny, baby.
Well, and for him.
For sure.
For billboards and interviews and marketing and commercials and his YouTube page.
For sure.
You know what I mean? But then it stopped going well.
Yeah, and isn't it true sometimes, like, you ask for that level of attention and focus, and then if things start to get difficult, then you're kind of regretting that that's where you are. But such is the double-edged sword of fame and pressure and professional sports.
But it's what they all sign up for, and it's what he wanted. You know, it wasn't like given to him unfairly or undeservedly.
Nope,
He was an incredibly dynamic and charismatic personality who was also great at playing baseball, at least offensively.
And I could see how some people might take that, what he's saying, and hear it as grumbling. I don't hear it as grumbling. I hear it as honest. And like, it got beaten down. Guy got beaten down by being bad and then by all the pressure that he had put on himself and that failure put on himself.
It's not a great start to the year. More strikeouts than games played, an OPS under 600, yeah. No home runs yet this year for TA.
Woof. Yeah, 16 for 60. As the full-time shortstop of an absolutely brutal baseball team, like horrifically bad. I think only the White Sox are worse than the Marlins in the standings, I believe. And there's already talk that the Marlins are going to pivot to selling after being a surprise playoff contender there down the stretch last year. Some bad pitching injuries have taken place and some serious underperformance has taken place. So, yeah, ugly start for an ugly team. It's too bad. That's too bad.
Well, we had your buddy in studio, Daniel Van Kirk. He was lovely.
He's a very, very funny man. Go check out his special on YouTube. Rose Gold is Daniel Van Kirk's special.
And listen to his segment with us where he does a killer Doug Buffon impression. Dave Wansler was on the show today. We appreciate that very much. Kevin Lapka, Connor O'Donnell, the Twitch chat, the video stream. Thank you, sirs. Shane Reardon is our executive producer. Thank you, sir. Chris Tannehill, making us sound better than we are each and every day. We got a Cub game tomorrow. The Cubs game tonight has been postponed. There's now a doubleheader on Saturday, in case you're just getting the news. So we'll have a very short show tomorrow after Cubs, before Bulls and Heat. We're going over to Galleria Marchetti to support Dan Bernstein and the Camp One Step Poker Gala tonight. For Matt Spiegel, I'm Danny Parkins. This is a fun way to end the show. Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
I thought you guys did a good job. Overall, solid show. I think we've had better, but, you know, we made the most of it for sure.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.